Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning. It's good to see everyone here today. Glad you came to be a part of our service here at Blairland Baptist Church. We're going to open our service this morning with the hymn, Jesus Saves. So if you could stand with us, please, and join in as we sing four verses of Jesus Saves.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Man, we're glad Jesus saves. Good to see everyone. I said earlier, good to see everyone here today. If we have any visitors, welcome to our service. Turn and greet each other as our pastor comes to the stage this morning. Welcome to our service.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to see you. We welcome you to our service today. We welcome our Facebook people and also YouTube and those who listen by radio. So we welcome all of you to our service today. It's good to see you. This is a busy time of the year. I know that. A lot of stuff going on, but I'm glad you came to be with us today. I'll be preaching today from Mark 13, and we'll be talking about the coming of Christ. May we pray together. Lord, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for your goodness to us, and we just are grateful today that we have this opportunity to gather together and to worship you in spirit and truth. I pray that we would honor you today in what we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We will be receiving a love offering this week and next week for missions. This goes to international missions and home missions. So if you have a gift you'd like to give, the love offering box is over there. So I want to remind you of that. Deacons will meet today, so deacons will be meeting this afternoon.
Thank you, Pastor. As he mentioned, it is a busy time, so our upward practices start this week. So we'll be practicing Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. So that'll begin this week. We've got about 130-something kids around there, 18 different teams. So it'll be a busy time here at our church, and then games will start first of the year in January. So we're looking forward to that. So be in prayer for that. And there's also other announcements in there about the Children's Christmas program and about Children's Camp in the summer. So pay attention to the announcements in your bulletin along with the poinsettia announcements in there as well. We're going to continue with our hymn singing this morning. I know whom I have believed, and my faith looks up to thee. You join in with us.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, and our faith is put into Jesus Christ. As our pastor mentioned, he's going to be singing about, or preaching about, not singing, going to be preaching about the second coming and Christ's return. So we're going to sing about that this morning. Songs you're very familiar with, When We All Get to Heaven. And then the second song is a medley of songs about heaven that we sang a couple of weeks ago that everybody said they enjoyed. So We're going to ask that your help on the first one and the second one. But if you could stand on the first one, when we all get to heaven, join in with us.
Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Before us, in His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. The victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
And you may be seated when we all get to heaven. What a glorious day that will be. Next set of songs is some that I'm sure you're very familiar with, I'll Fly Away and Feel Like Traveling On. So you join in with us. Even though you're sitting down, you can still join in with us, okay, and sing. Okay, Kurt.
Sure,
Father, we can truly say, praise God, we're going home. We thank you for the promise of heaven. Thank you for the promise of your return. God, I pray that we would look forward to that day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to sing your praise this morning. I pray that you were honored and glorified with our songs this morning. Pray that you'd open our hearts to receive your word today. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, worship team. Death for a believer really is not leaving home, it's going home. And that's what those songs are all about. We're looking for the coming of Jesus Christ again. The overview of the teaching of the coming of Christ is found many times in the Scripture. We're at Tuesday night during the Passion Week, the last week of the Lord's life here on this earth before he would be crucified on Friday. They were out the Mount of Olives. This passage of Scripture today that I'm going to be talking about occurred on the Mount of Olives when Jesus was teaching his disciples. The question they had for him was about his coming again, about the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What we're looking for today, as far as believers in today's age that we live, the next event for us that we're looking to is what the Bible refers to as the catching away or the rapture of the church. That's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so that event is going to happen. And really, when you think about it, it could happen at any moment because no prophecy or anything in the Bible has to be fulfilled for that event to happen. Now, Jesus talks about signs of his coming again in Mark and Luke and Matthew. He speaks of those things. Now, when we understand the second coming of Christ, we need to understand the overview of what's going on here. There will be a rapture of the church. We'll be taken to heaven. Then after that, some of the things that Jesus talked about here in Mark 13 will take place here on this earth. The Bible refers to that as the tribulation time. During that time, there'll be the battle of what Ezekiel calls the battle of Gog and Magog. At the end of those 7 years, the book of Revelation talks about the battle of Armageddon. And that is a battle that is yet to come. And then God's kingdom be established, and then we go into eternity. But the whole point of understanding these things or talking about them is that we need to wake up. We need to be ready for Jesus Christ to come again. You know, it's good to know about these things, and that's what the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation. There's a blessing that is promised to those who will read the Bible and study the Bible when it refers to the things of the coming again of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells those who do that, then you know, you're going to receive a blessing for it. There are some mysteries to it. There's some things we don't understand about it. But yet, the Lord wants us to know. There's some things he wants us to know. And that's what I'll be talking about this morning. But the main thing, you know, we can know these things about the second coming when Jesus, you know, talks about them and the other Bible writers talk about them. But the main thing is to know that you'll be ready for that time. To know that if you died today or if he came today, that you'd be ready to meet him. To know that you have a home in heaven. That's the most important thing to know. So what I want to do is read this passage in Mark 13. And again, this is Tuesday during the week, the last week of our Lord's life here on this earth that he taught this lesson. So look at verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father. So he's talking about the coming again. Take heed, and here's what he tells us to do, to watch and pray. Now, why are we to watch and pray? When we watch, what that means is that we're not indifferent toward the things of the Bible, or we're not indifferent about the Lord, our love for Him. We don't have an attitude of apathy about the things that we need to know about His coming. We need to be watching. And the point that we're making today is that with all that we see in the world today, the coming of Christ is closer. And that's where you see the Bible fulfilling in these things that He talked about. If what we see today, you know, if those things are going on today that we see, then how much closer is His coming? So we're to watch and we're to pray. Why are we to pray? Because as we get closer to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the times are going to become more difficult. And we're not going to be able to make it on our own, in our own strength. And so that's why we're to pray. We're to pray for spiritual strength, and we're to pray for His help. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, or in the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, to watch. So what the Lord is saying to us is, we need to watch, we need to be awake, we don't need to be indifferent about His coming again. First truth that I want to talk about is living in uncertain days. Paul gives us five principles to help us in these days of uncertainty that we live in. 1 Corinthians 16:13, he's given us principles in living the Christian life, and particularly in days of uncertainty. What he tells us in 1 Corinthians 16, first of all, he said you need to be alert. The idea of being alert, like Jesus talked about, watching, being alert, those words are used 22 times in the New Testament. So Jesus is making a point here. He's telling us to be alert. Why do we need to be alert? We need to be alert against Satan, because he's not our friend. We need to be alert against temptation. We need to be alert and watchful against any indifference or apathy that may come into our life. Then he says, I want you to stand strong. I want you to be firm. Be firm in your belief of the gospel. He's talking about doctrine here. He's talking about what we believe. Be firm in what you believe. Have confidence in the Bible and what the Bible teaches. Then a third principle he gives us is to be mature. Don't be immature about things. The maturity here is a spiritual maturity. So he's telling us that in these days of uncertainty which we live, in these days leading up to the coming of Christ, this is how we need to live. We need to live with these principles. Then he says to be strong. Strong in the Lord. Strong in faith. Strong in power. And that comes from the Holy Spirit living within us. Then he tells us that with all those things, we're to be loving. If there's a day that we need love for each other and for our fellow man, it's certainly today. There's just so much hatred and anger in the world. And so what Paul is saying is, as we get closer to the coming of Christ, then, you know, we as Christians need to show more love toward people. Jesus gave three parables in this Olivet Discourse that I want to talk about. Now, we're not going to read these, but I'll just refer to him. But when he was talking about his coming again to his disciples, he gave three parables on the Mount of Olives. One is found in Matthew 24. And what this parable is talking about is thinking about that the Lord will not return soon. And he told the parable there, he told the story of two servants that really had the attitude of, you know, not really thinking that the master of the house was going to return anytime soon. So what he says here is that we need to be watching expectantly for his coming again. And that was the purpose of that story that Jesus told. Nothing stands in the way, folks, of Jesus Christ coming again. His coming again is imminent. It could be at any time. It could be at any moment. And so Jesus gives the parable there of saying that we need to watch for his coming expectantly and be looking for him. The second parable that he talked about is in Matthew 25. And this too is on the Mount of Olives, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And this is the parable of bridesmaids. And what he's saying there is that there will be the folly of those who presume that his coming will be soon. And so therefore they're not, you know, they get indifferent about anything. In other words, why should we do anything if his coming is going to be soon? And so he gives that parable there and he tells us that we shouldn't have that attitude, that we need to be prepared for his coming because his coming could be sudden. But then the third parable Jesus gave is in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And what that refers to is the parable of the talents. And what that speaks of is wasted opportunity. He gave these three men three talents. Two of them used their talents. The third one didn't. He buried his talent. And basically what that's saying is, you know, that he wasted the opportunity. And what Jesus is saying to us is this, that we need to be diligently working for him. We need to be diligent in our faithfulness, particularly in days of uncertainty and particularly as the coming of Christ gets closer and closer and closer. What he's looking for in your life and my life is faithfulness. So he gives that parable there. Jesus told the story in Luke 14 about a man who built a tower. And before he built the tower, he failed to count the cost. In living for the Lord Jesus, particularly as we get closer to the second coming of Christ, we're going to have to count the cost. Because things are really going to be different. There's going to be a lot of uncertainty. There's going to be a lot of persecution that intensifies against believers. And so we just need to be aware of that. And that's why Jesus is talking about that. So in those three parables, the key takeaway is, and the first parable is the folly of thinking the Lord will not return soon. The second parable shows the folly of presuming that he will come soon. And the third parable shows the importance of living a faithful life regardless of when he returns. But the thing that ties all this together and what Jesus was talking about on the Mount of Olives is you need to be ready. You need to be ready and prepared for his coming again. We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if we died today or if he came today, that we would be in heaven. And so that's the point of what Jesus is teaching here. He gives us the contrast between faithfulness and unbelief, the contrast of wisdom and folly, the contrast of being prepared and the contrast of indifference. So be ready. And so when you combine all these three parables that Jesus taught, then you just come back to Mark 13:35, where Jesus said, "You do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, in midnight, a crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. So therefore be ready, be prepared while we wait for his coming." Now, I want to talk now about some very practical things. Awake and alert. What does it mean? Jesus said we need to be alert, we need to be watching, we need to be praying. What does that mean? It doesn't mean setting dates. Jesus tells us here in this parable that no one knows the time. No one knows the day of His coming. The only thing that we know for sure, based on the teaching of Jesus, is we know the certainty that He will come again. We know that. We know that He's coming again. Now, what we don't know is the time. In past history, there have been people who have set dates. Ellen G. White, the founder of Seventh-day Adventist Church, set dates. Those dates didn't happen. There have been some in other movements who have set dates about the coming again of Christ, and that didn't happen. There have been some recently who have set dates about His coming. That didn't happen. So it's not about that. We don't know the day. We don't know the time. We don't know the hour. But here's what we do know, that He is coming, and we need to be prepared and ready for whenever that is. Waiting on Christ is not a passive thing. It's not just sitting around and twiddling our thumbs, but it's something that we need to be engaged in, and watching and waiting and praying, being faithful and living for Him. When He comes, whenever it is, we want to hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That's where we want to be. And that's what Jesus is saying to us here. Wake and alert. What it does mean is protection. And Jesus talked about that in this parable that He taught on the Mount of Olives. He says what you need to do as the second coming gets closer and closer is to pray. He said people are going to come against you. You're going to be asked about your faith and your testimony. He said when you face that, He says, here's what I want you to know. I will be with you, and I will give you the words to say. They'll drag you before the authorities. And when they do that, and when you're persecuted for your faith, rest in this to know that you have my protection. He talks about preparation, being prepared for His coming again. You need to be prepared for that. Then He talks about the proclamation. What Jesus tells us that we need to be doing, particularly in the time leading up to the coming again of Jesus Christ, is to be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what He did was to give us the Great Commission. He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So as we get closer to the coming again of Jesus Christ, rather than being indifferent about that, then what the Lord says is we need to be really about telling the story of Jesus, to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people will have hope. The only hope for the world is Jesus Christ. That's the hope. As Christians, when we think about the coming again of Jesus Christ, here's the way it's described to us in the Bible. It is called the blessed hope. Why is it the blessed hope? Because we will be with Christ. We will be gone before this great tribulation comes on this earth. Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 19, those chapters talk about the awful things that will happen on this earth after Jesus Christ comes for His church. The reason we're looking for that blessed hope is because God has not appointed us for that day of wrath. We're going to be with Him when those things happen on this earth. But we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. We've got to have that assurance that we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we're ready to meet Him. There are two great motives that I've thought about that I wanted to leave with you today. When we think about Christian living in days of uncertainty, and we are living in days of uncertainty, there's a lot of reasons for that. There's the uncertainty of all the things that we see going on today. It just seems like things are out of control more than ever. But they're in God's control. He's in control. But things are really seem to be out of control. But also, there's another thought in that. The reason we're living in days of uncertainty is we never know what day we're going to leave this earth. And that's not only, you know, in the coming of, again, of Jesus Christ, but it's in our home going. We never know that day or time or hour when God's going to call us home to be with Him. So that's another aspect of this. That's why Jesus says we need to be ready, we need to be prepared at any time for His coming. So what we need to remember, though, is what He did on the cross for us. He died for our sins. He took our place. He died for us in order for us to have salvation. He died for us to give us the assurance to know that one day, that if we put our faith and trust in Him, that we have the assurance of being with Him in heaven, so that when He comes again, that we will not be left behind, but we will go with Him, to be with Him. So because of the cross and because of our faith in Jesus Christ and what He did there for us, then that motivates us to long for His coming. I don't know about you, but I'm praying what John prayed, come Lord Jesus, because we're looking for Him and we're looking for that return that He speaks of. And that'll be a glorious day, because in that day we're going to see Him face to face and we're going to be with Him forever. And it's all because of what He did on the cross for us. Then what it means is that we need to be motivated in looking for Him to return again. There are some people who have become very indifferent about the second coming of Jesus Christ, because here's what they say, and I've had people tell me this. We've heard that all our lives. And we've heard that His coming is soon. And so, you know, they get real indifferent about that. Jesus talked about that. He said in the last days, there will be people who will be indifferent about His coming. Why? Because they've heard about it all their lives. And we see that and we understand that. But that's not where we need to be. Peter says in his epistle this. He says, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. In other words, what he's saying is, you know, time is, you know, God doesn't look at time how we look at time. So His coming is soon. If it's one day from now, 1 minute from now, 100 years from now, in His way of looking at it, His coming is soon and His coming is intimate. So we need to be ready for that coming. So I'll just ask you today, do you have that assurance? Do you know that you know that you know? If not, you can by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because He is coming again and He's made a way that we could be with Him forever and ever and ever. And I'm looking forward to that time. I hope you are too. Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we thank You for what You give us to live in these days of uncertainty. You give us principles to live by. You give us faith. Father, You give us courage. We need Your strength. In these days of uncertainty, Lord, help us to depend upon You. Help us to follow Your instruction, to watch and to pray, because You are coming again and You're coming soon. I pray for those who need to establish a spiritual base in their life, for those who need to receive the gospel today of Jesus Christ. May they come today and may they put their faith and trust in you so that they'll be prepared for your coming. Lord, that's what this life is all about. It's about us being prepared for your coming again. And the way we do that is by believing in Jesus Christ. So I ask today that there'd be those who'd make that commitment. For those of us who know you and who are saved, help us, Lord, not to be indifferent or to have a spirit of apathy, but help us to be faithful in doing what you want us to do as we prepare for your coming again. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
thank you for being here today, and we praise God for the blessed hope that He's given to us, and I hope that this week that you go in that spirit and go in that encouragement, looking for His return again, because He is coming again. So may God bless you and give you the grace and strength that you need for this week and as you face each day that He gives you. God bless you. The worship team will come now with our song of benediction.
Thank you, Pastor. As we close, we'll sing "Soon and Very Soon, We're Going to See the King."
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King.
Thank you. You're dismissed.